Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, that slavery mentality is the worst form of slavery. It gives you the illusion of freedom, makes you trust, love, and defend your oppressor while making enemies of those who are trying to free you or open your eyes. That's right. Mental slavery is the worst form of slavery. It gives the illusion of freedom, makes you trust, love, and defend your oppressor while making enemies of those who are trying to free you or open your eyes. That's right. You know, Malcolm X said that the house Negro, when the house is on fire, he said, "Boss man, our house is on fire. Our house." When the boss man gets sick, he said, "Boss, we sick." This is the mentality that we're dealing with here in the city of Benton Harbor, you see. And it's something that people have to realize that, you know, black people are the only people playing by the rules, created by people who don't follow their own rules. Our history was written by those that hung our heroes. Given this fact, it is therefore foolish to believe that the history taught today, taught to us, is true. How could it be? It is impossible. The Black Holocaust from 1619 to 1861, more than 15 million Africans were sold into slavery. Over 35 million were killed by slave traders, making it the greatest Holocaust the world has ever known. That's right. As a people that has been traumatized by over 450 years of abuse, mistreatment, torture, hanging, the rape of our women and men. See, in them days, they didn't just rape the women, they raped the men also. To this day, even though we may look like people of no hope, God has chosen us. We are the chosen people. We are. And remember, not everything, but nothing can be changed until it is fixed. Nothing. We're living in a system that's for over 250 years, this old system has been in place to allow 545 to control 330 million of us. That's right. They control us. They make all decisions on about us. If they say go to war, we're going to war. That's what they're saying. If they say go to war, pack up your bags and go to war. That's what you got to do, these 545 people. And the 330 million people have to listen to what they say. But one thing about black people, anytime you beg another man to set you free, you will never, ever, ever be free. If you can't take it, you're never going to get it. And here, let me talk about reparations just for a second, because I think that's important that we talk about reparations, because I'm hoping and praying that reparations will be given. But it's hard to believe that a system that is controlled by 545 people will allow black folks to level the playing field. That would help to level the playing field, the reparations. So I don't see country providing reparations for black folks. Only thing I can see them doing is continue to kill us, hang us, destroy our families. you know, why won't the court system be fair and honest to black folks? Why won't they? Because one reason why, black folks ain't going to stand up to them. They'll kill you. They'll kill you, but they will not stand up to white folks. And here's something that I can't put my hands on. A drive-by killing is not a gangster act. It's a coward act. What did the 4-year-old boy that you shot and killed do to you? What did the 5-year-old girl that you shot and killed do to you? And you out here walking around with your chest all out because you did a drive-by shooting. It's a cowardly act. That's what it is. You're a coward when you go out here doing a drive-by shooting. Just the other day, they shot, well, you know, I don't have no love for these Indians either out here, but they shot up this place 125 bullets. Then about 2 weeks before that, they shot up the gas station, both of them are owned by the Indians. Another 125 bullets went into there. Two people got shot at the gas station, but nobody got shot at the grocery store. But my thing is this. Stop all these cowardly acts. Save your bullets. These folks is coming. They're coming. It's just a matter of time. If they get a Trump in here, oh, man, these folks don't go nuts because they know they're not going to jail. So listen. Teach your children to be thinkers. Your children should be able to think. And that's where we're failing at. Our children have not been thinking because there's so much going on. All the jobs. I see on the highway these old labor jobs, white folks, all white folks. I see when Benton Harbor, the water council went out and got them $33.2 million, they turned it over to white folks. Everything is designed for white folks. Black folks give white folks the money, even though they have it in their hand. Think they're doing something. This is what they did. They gave them $33.2 million in Adamar, and they returned and gave them a $25 plaque saying that they're doing a great job. And that's not the stupidest thing I ever heard. That's right. That is one of the stupidest things that I ever heard. But if we say nothing about it, we're just as bad as they are. If we say nothing about it, we are just as bad as they are. We got to change the way we do business. We got to make sure we're building a future for our children. It's no longer about a Reverend Pinkney. It's no longer about a Dr. Times. It's no longer about us. It's all about our children. Where we have to build this foundation so they can be built upon that foundation. And until we're able to do this, things are going to continue just like they are. It's unfortunate. But I want to say, before I bring in my first guest, that the Sample of the Year Award went over wonderfully. I didn't anticipate that it would turn out like it did. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people listen to this Blog Talk Radio show. I know all that. I know people on Facebook, that we also on Facebook. I never dreamed that anything like this could have happened. I didn't. I didn't anticipate, you know. So now what other people is doing, they want to set up a Sambo of the Year Award for their community. And nominate 3 people. I don't know how it'll work, though. They want to make it national because in your area, your Sambos, you know, people might know about them. Like, we don't know, like, some of you may not even know who Marcus Muhammad, Ron Singleton, Dwayne CC is, you know. So I don't know how it'll work. I will need somebody who's listening today to email me at BANCO9342@sbcglobal.net. Maybe you could come up with it, because I don't have a clue how we can do this nationally. You know, like the Al Sharptons, we can put them in there. Stephen A. Smith, Charles Barkley, Shaq. You see, how will we incorporate all these guys into this? I don't know. I don't have a clue. I'm going to have to be honest with you. I do not have a clue how I can do it. And maybe, you know, everybody, you know, I don't think we should have no more than 7 or 8 people running. That's the way I look at it. But I need y'all help. I need help. I need you to help me make this a national thing, the Sambo of the Year Award. I need your help. And I'm depending on you guys out there to help me, because I don't have a clue how I would do this nationally. You know, I've never heard of seen anything like this before in my life. People been calling me, and they want Stephen A. Smith to be part of that, and Barkley and Shaq, Al Sharpton, these guys, but I don't know how we can do it. I'm being honest, you see. And I need your help. And I'm asking for your help right now, how we are going to do that. I'm boycotting Stephen A. Smith, Shaq, Charles Barkley, and Steve Harvey. Anybody that didn't stand up for Kyrie, he did nothing wrong, but you didn't stand up for him, I got a problem, you see. And the thing is, I got some Jewish friends who have been picketing the Jewish synagogue for 20 years. Matter of fact, I was out there with him picking the synagogue. And he's been doing it for 20 years. They elected to sue him. And one of my really good friends, Buck Davis, the attorney, is defending Henry. His name is Henry. He's been on my show before. And he's Jewish. And he got a team of Jewish people that's actually picketing the synagogue. He's saying, he's a Jewish self. He said the Jewish people, the Zionist people, are the worst people on earth. You know, the worst people on earth. These are his words. They are the worst people on earth. You know, what I have seen from them, I tend to agree. You know, but that, you know, that don't make me right. You know, just because I'm agreeing with him, that do not make me right. But, you know, that's just my opinion, just by what he have told me about the Jewish people, all the things that they have done to people, how they try to control everything. They try to see, that thing with Kyrie is a more of a control issue. I'm going to make you bow down, black man. I'm going to crush you, black man. I'm going to do this to you, black man, if you ever put a video up about us. And it's the truth. It's the truth. If it's a lie, something different. But if it's the truth, I'm going to crush you. And then we got Stephen A. Smith saying, I know these white folks told him, the Jewish people told him to say this, that Kyrie Irving should never, ever, ever play basketball again here in the United States. I never heard nobody say something that's stupid, especially a black person. And some of the things that Shaq was saying and Charles Barkley was saying is almost unheard of. I mean, nobody would believe that people would talk like this. You know, this is why we're in this compromising position today, because we got all these Sambos running around here. Money don't make you. See, black folks think that, you know, when they're motivated by money, they think they can say it all, but they're being controlled by these devils, these white devils. They're controlling you. You can't put a video up that Shaq was running in his theaters. Amazon is the one who helped created it. And you can't put that up. They didn't go after them. They went after Kyrie. Matter of fact, they bullying him in Kenya. Kenya West. They're bullying him because they're black. And black people have the nerves to talk about. They don't know. See, black people, get y'all heads together. Stand up for what's right. Let's do what we supposed to do. Anyhow, let me tell you, these numbers for the Sample of the Year Award was final. These are the final totals. Marcus, the mayor of Benton Harbor, Marcus Muhammad, 10,477 votes. Ron Singleton, who the one who stole the radio station, 10,469 votes. Followed by Commissioner Dwayne Seitz, 1,458. Then we have his mother, Marletta Seitz, 10,439 votes. Then we have Judge Mayfield, 10,422 votes. And then we have the one and only, don't call the police, McGinnis, the chief. Don't call that 10,412. Normally, either one of these guys could have won. So what I've been hearing now, people want to go national, and I don't know how to do it. I don't have that skill, let's put it that way. To put a plan together, that's why I need you guys' help. I need somebody to email me and lay it out how I could, even though there's other people who want to do it, they expect me to do it. I don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to incorporate all these other cities that want to be involved. So I'm going to need you guys' help. We got to stop these Sambos. We got to stop them at all costs. Our children's future is at stake. They're at stake. Our children's future. But before I move on, I also want to talk about this guy, Michael Hoy, the sexual predator here in the city of Benton Harbor. I think it's day 75 that he has been walking around here. He's a predator. He attacks drunks and drug addicts. We don't even know whether he killed any of them. We don't know because the police is his buddy. You have the mayor, Marcus, that's his friend. You have Dwayne Seitz, the commissioner, that's his friend. You have the chief of police, McGinnis, that's his friend. They're all friends, and they're trying to keep that white boy out of prison and let him continue to sexually harass our community. Also, we have a pastor Carlton Lynch. He sexually attacked this young lady, and he's still preaching in the pulpit, you know. But I don't think very much of this church anymore since Pastor Barry died. Now, he was an icon. Everything else is all downhill. This guy done ruined this church. They had put a note on his door, I think just last week, that they was cutting off the lights at the church. Or I don't know whether they just, you know, didn't pay the bill on time. I don't know, and I don't care. But my thing is that this guy been doing all these dirty things. He done robbed the church. The church is, you know, used to be one of the most prestigious church in the community under Reverend Barry. And they sent this guy, Ron Singleton, to go get this guy. By him bringing this guy back, and they told him when he was in Fort Wayne, do not get that guy. But sheets of the same feather flocks together. So he brought this guy back, and boom, 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 he destroyed the church, the funeral home, and all the business. Now he got notice on the door that your lights will be cut off. And on that note, let me bring in my good friend, the one and only,
the one and only Dr. Tyus. Dr. Tyus.
Okay, thank you. I'm gonna talk a little bit about the whole Kyrie Irving since you laid it out, but I had to pull out some points from what you said earlier. Now, remember, drive-bys are not always done by black people. We found that in Chicago when we had whites who were wearing masks and trying to cause gang violence and retaliation. And we even had them caught on video where they looked black, but the shirt showed a space where the mask had ended, and there was a white person underneath impersonating us. So we have to think that they remember also that the colors of America are red, white, and blue. And remember, it was the United States government that dropped a blue semi-truck filled with weapons in one area and a red truck filled with the another area and created the Bloods and the Crips, which is the red, white, and blue of the United States. You got the white and the red, white, and blue Crips fighting each other. You got that today with the government involvement. So that's part of the counter program, you know, of the FBI to prevent the rise of black messiahs. The thing that you also spoke about with your award, one suggestion is that when you look at people like the Stephen guy, but remember, Stephen is another form of Stephen. And then when you look at Stephen, Stephen is also called Snowball and Django. So, you know, so that's where you get your house thing from, but that so he falls right in line with that. But how you did it, remember, you started with the city. So the city can give its top candidates, then go to the county, the best house Negroes, Sambos in that county, and then the best Sambos across the state. And then those Sambos compete for the, you know, Sambo of the year nationally. And you have, like you already said, first, second, third place. But I would submit to you that you follow some of the guidelines of Dr. Claude Anderson when he revealed and showed the 1705, the Meritorious Manumission. So Meritorious Manumission, and that was to create the Sambo. And therefore, you should have a category of the athlete, which is your sports, a category for your entertainer, your category for your pastors, you know, clergy, and your professional, your professors, so education, because the Meritorious Manumission was designed to place Sambos in each of those categories to make people comfortable with slavery and with those areas. So that's what I'll submit to you, my contribution. I also had heard you talk on reparations. Now, with reparations, people got to be very clear on your definition of who gets reparations. And that's why we put forward those, just like you have the Dora Milaje and Gorgi. You're going to have to, we have to more identify as the Dosa, and the Dosa also can include the, you know, the Hebrew Israelite, because it means descendants of enslaved Africans in America. So D-O-E-S-A-A, capital D, capital O, capital E, capital S, capital A, capital A, descendants of enslaved Africans in America. Because remember, Elon Musk is a European born in South Africa, migrated to Canada, to the United States, and is officially an African-American. Elon Musk, the multi-billionaire, is a African-American. If you label him, if you put the title down as DOSA as your criteria, descendants of enslaved Africans, that eliminates him. And it also eliminates your immigrant Africans who are being used to displace the native African or black that's here in the educational system because when you ask for reparations, there's a pushback to get rid of you, and that's why you have the heightened of the drugs, the heightened violence in the music, the heightened sexual in the music, the heightened of the same sex in the music, because two women can't reproduce, two men can't reproduce. And so that's also in terms of genocidal war movement that you have to understand that this is a game of war. So when you talk about reparations, and you can't be small-minded, because remember, we have taught to be Negroes. We've been taught to be Negroes and niggers through our music, through our pastoral education, through our churches, through our educational systems, through our entertainment system. We look and we see dumb niggers, just plain and simple. So we can't be small-minded. We got to go back and think of that. Remember that we were one time the Canaanites or the Egyptians, and we have to look 10,000 years into the future. Therefore, when you talk about reparations and education should be free. It was outlawed in the United States that you, an African or a black person could not be educated, and therefore you need to have 400 years or 340 years where education is free for the descendants of enslaved Africans, not your immigrants. Anybody who came over by passport or visa is not a DOSA. Anybody who came over with a passport or visa, that's not a DOSA. But anyone who's a DOSA should have free education for at least 300 years. Also, they should have health care to the same free health care. You know, it was not just the Tuskegee family. It was the mumps, Ms. Rubella, in terms of causing autism. There were other things that were done to us in terms of medicine, in terms of health. So medicine, education, and then the number one thing, that remember, Africans were banned from land ownership. They were banned. They were not allowed. And if over 2 billion acres of land were given out to immigrant whites that were called over. Even the Chinese came over. They came over to partially work on the railroad, but also they came over to go to California and those countries for gold. So they came here for enrichment, and they also participated a little bit in the enslavement of Africans as well. So we got to be clear. So land, as Malcolm X said, is the basis of independence. So we got to go education, health, land. Those are some important aspects. And remember that we, as we speak today in 2020 in November, that anyone who's a DOSA, descendant of enslaved Africans, are not considered citizens. So therefore, we should be allowed exemption that as a DOSA, a descendant of enslaved Africans in America, we should not pay any income tax, any federal, city, state tax whatsoever, just like the Native Americans do, because of the debt that is owed that has never been paid for us, number one. Number two, we should also receive interest-free loans for at least no less than 100 years, because the Freedmen's Bank, which is FDIC insured, was robbed by the Klan, and all our people's money that was in there was FDIC insured. So therefore, that should, an interest-bearing account, that should be something that we have to look at. So in terms of our own finances and banking, so we should have autonomy of areas just exempt, like the Indians that you see have this, who run the casinos. So we have to look big and not small. And then we also can work out the best of us who is pro-DOSA, not people who've been FBI. So if you were Gene Roberts, who helped to assassinate Malcolm X, if you were William O'Neill, who helped to assassinate Fred Hampton, or Jesse Jackson, who's by Courtney Dick Gregory, was involved in the assassination of Martin Luther King, or Al Sharpton, who took down Johnny Cochran's partner, then no, those people cannot be a part of the little governmental system like we, like the Native Americans have been allowed to be independent. So we have to look in every aspect of life. That's how you have to do reparations, and it has to be like a 20-year year or a year plan. We have been too small things. The current leaders who have been brought up aren't being brought up to the Sanborn School of Technology. So they are genetically engineered to be house Negroes and Sambos. The last thing I'm going to say from what you were saying earlier, remember that the children reflect the parents. We screwed up, and I screwed up. They shut down the black family in the 1970s. We allowed the whites to create single-family home projects. We allowed them to do increase welfare. We did all these little penny-ante things that destroyed the black family. So it's not about being the black woman or black woman rights or pro-black male. We got to be pro-black family. And we did not prepare our children for the racism that's out there, the discrimination that's out there. We are guilty. The church is guilty because we were supposed to prepare them, and we did not. So we have that type of problem that we have to look at right now here in America. So, and that ties in with what's going on with Kyrie Irving. With Kyrie Irving, he's a good brother, but there's a problem that many of us are messing up with. We do not be hardcore with science. We do not stay hardcore with literature. And what I mean by that, we get tricked into playing a game that another person has written or another person has designed. So I want to set the, like Martin Luther King, right? He said, I want to get the language right tonight. So I want to get the language right for this whole issue. And what we got to do is first get the language right with H-A-R-I-B-U. H-A-R-I-B-U, Hebrew. Hebrew is what gives you later what is called Hebrew. And Hebrew and Hebrew are the exact same language, the exact same people. That comes from a Kemetic word. Hebrew comes from a Kemetic word and what we would say called Kenet, or but in Greek, we would call Egypt, so we call Egypt in the moment. So it's an Egyptian word, an African word, means to cross the water. And these are the people who came in into Egypt from northern Africa, the northern tip of Africa, of the land of Canaan. So let me do some explaining. So the land of Canaan is also called Palestine and now has been called Israel, but that's not what it was called back then. And that's the northern tip. It's not over, nowhere near Iraq, is nowhere near Babylon, is nowhere near the middle of the East. And remember, that did not start being called that area that until 1947, 1948, right after the one two-day war when the Europeans, who we're going to talk about, took over the Palestine area, and then all of a sudden became the Middle East. But to say it's the Middle East would be to say that Michigan is part of the Middle East, because Dearborn has more Arabs, or as they would like to call themselves, Arab Asians, than any place else in the world. So therefore, Michigan should be a part of the Middle East if you're going to use that criteria. Next, let's go back to we got to coming in from an Egyptian colony. You got a group of people who are in Chaldea, which is under African rule, and a demon is called out by Yahweh, or the Most High, leave that area and head towards North Africa. So to leave Chaldea, city of Ur, to go there. And then the start of this faith, Abraham, starts over in North Africa. And it stays in North Africa all the way up to the diaspora. What that means is it stays in North Africa through the birth of Christ all the way to the dispersing of the Hebrew faith. And the Hebrew faith know when you're Hebrew that you did mess up when it came to Mashiach. So you have to, there's going to be a time of spanking for disobedience. And I'm not just using the Bible, but I'm referring to the Torah. And we see in the Torah with your Pentateuch or your Septuagint in the first five books of Moses. So when you go into looking at those, that's what we're talking about in that history. And remember that the first book of your Bible is not Genesis, but it was Exodus. That's the first book that was written, and the other books, Genesis, was written later. So that's a very important spot when you have your two Exodus. the one there, and then the one after the Mashiach, when people go into what was called the diaspora. So we're making sure we get our geography right. So one, we're talking about North Africa. That's why the Mashiach, that's why the Christ could walk over into Egypt. That's why Joseph and Mary could just take this cavalry stroll and go over into Egypt and fulfill the prophecy that says, out of Egypt I will call my son. Translations also say, out of Ethiopia I will call my son. Out of Cush I will call my son. Out of Africa I will call my son. So whatever language translation you want to do, but the bottom line, the Mashiach, the Messiah, had to come out of the land that we call Africa today. And that's where he hid amongst his cousins there, because that's all that North African part. Now, so we got our geography correct. Now we got the language Hebrew coming to the Hebrew, that we're making sure that that's correct. And there's different dialects that come. And you can also find an earlier dialect that branches off coming down there from the Nebuchadnezzar and branching off. And then you have another branch coming further down, more closer to what we have today. All right, so you have them moving in to North Africa. Then God has them go in to another part of Africa in terms of what's called Mizraim and the Hebrew, or called Tamedikamit, and the Medo-Netcher, or called Egyptus, and the Greek, and called Egypt and the Roman. So I'll just keep it simple, since we're more under the Roman occupation right now in America. We'll keep using the Roman terms from here on out. So they're in Egypt, and then they're blessed, and they're increased in there, and then they wind up going back. But remember, only 72 individuals went into Egypt. 72 people went into Egypt, and over 600 million came out, but that was only counting the men. That was only counting the men. So what people forget is that to be a follower of Abraham, all you did was accept the God of Abraham. Now, when they left out of Africa and others came in, if you were Gentile, then you had to do something different. Then as a Gentile, you had to not only accept the God of Abraham and the laws, but also circumcision. Circumcision is an ancient African tradition, but it was required by the Most High as a sign. So the Chaldean, the early Chaldean, had to pick up that African tradition, and we see that in Genesis, where Moses' wife didn't want to do it, but she wind up submitting to the will of the Most High at circumcision, and it's traditionally done on the eighth day. Medically, there are atheists who are physicians, pediatricians, want to eliminate circumcision practice in the field of medicine, and so they are atheists, anti the Hebrew faith, anti the Christian faith. Those physicians want to eliminate it because they say it's only a 1% chance of decreasing a penile cancer. But remember, this is not a holy nation. All right, so now hopefully we got our people. Now we got these million and at least a minimum, a million to less than two million people coming out of this part of Africa, going back next door into the land of Canaan, which, you know, became Palestine, and then waiting for the Mashiach. But what happened is Sambo leadership in the Hebrew faith went against the Most High and caused the people to have to be punished and go into exile. But the connection between Africa and them, remember, when Hezekiah was in trouble, who came? Tahaka. So when you look in the Bible, you're going to see that the African cousins came to the rescue against the, you know, to the Assyrians against the attack. But the wickedness of leadership the wickedness of leadership, because the number six represents man. So 666 represents man, not a mark of a six, but the translation is literal, that it's the mark of a man. And it tells you that in Revelation 13:18. So 13:18, go there, 13:18, go there, and you're going to see you're talking about a man. And so these antichrists goes out and cause us to go astray. So the Hebrew faith goes astray, winds up going into captivity several times, and becoming mixed. Okay, then what happens is that the Messiah comes, and what you have to now do is go into Matthew's chapter 1, go into Matthew's chapter 1, verse 1, and you'll see between verse 1 and verse 4, You will see the genealogy of Mary, because no other time is it important to include a woman in the Sanskrit culture. In the Sanskrit culture, Asian culture, it goes patriarchal, not matriarchal. It goes patriarchal, the patriarch, the father. It follows the male and not the female. But go to Matthew 1, you'll see that the maternal line, the African tradition, is expressed in Matthew. You'll see you'll have Tamar. From Tamar, you will have Rahab. From Rahab, you will have Bathsheba, wife of Uriah, giving birth to the granddaughter called Mary, who gives birth to Jesus. And you have to remember, Joseph stepped in. So Joseph is the origin of the stepfather. He steps in to be the physical father on the earth, where God is the father. So Jesus' line comes through the woman, like the Egyptian line of royalty comes through the woman, like the African tradition, which is matriarchal, comes, that is the line of the Messiah. And so you have Mary coming from these Hamitic women, or Shemitic women. It is a combined, because you have Ham and Shem coming together. And then what you see is that the Moabite is brought back into their Yeshem when you bring in Ruth, that everyone wants to talk about, who was a Moabite outside of it, and who had been cursed from Lot. But she is brought back in too and gives birth and the guy who leads down to Jesse, who gives birth to the line of King David. But King David shared the matriarchy of Rahab, of Tamar, and of Bathsheba. So you got that African royal lineage that goes in there. And that's important because, again, and I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 10 in a minute, that from the African woman called the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba, and David, they give birth to a son who is called Solomon. And Solomon has a wife that's the queen of the south, which we call the queen of the Sheba. And the bias of the day did not want to recognize having this prince to be over the Hebrew of that day. And that prince was called Menelik. And so Menelik went back into Africa, deeper Africa, with his mother, with the priests, rabbis, and the teachers, and all that, to be raised as tradition as a prince back there. And that's why you have your Hebrew faith also in multiple parts of Africa, because the Queen of Sheba and Solomon had this consummation, and that consummation is still with us today through the line of Haile Selassie, who came directly through that. And so from that direct the line and descendants from David. But we still have more to go. So I'm going to try to speed it up a little bit. So I wanted to make sure that who we're talking about is the Hebrew people. And I'm going to so that's how we have sets of Hebrew. But the diaspora means that when Rome fell, not when Rome, when Jerusalem fell, the Jewish Miracle, that's a book, the Indestructible Jew, that's a book. What winds up happening is that the Hebrew woman, like we know today, have blessed wombs because of the melanin, because they were, in Genesis, they were created in the image of God by God, and that God took the black dirt into Genesis 2:17, breathed in it, man became a living soul. And the Garden of Eden, versus Genesis 2:11 to 2:13, that he placed them in Africa, and what we know about Lake Missouri, which are called Lake Victoria, and it tells you in 2:11 that they the river of Gihon, the river of Pison, one goes through the whole land of Havilah, which is called Nubia, and Nuba means gold, the people with gold, you know, that's why we call it Nubian princess, and then the other one is Gihon, would go through the whole land of Cush or Ethiopia. So God makes it very plain. Right now, you know, our minds have been so insane with the TV videos and white actors that it's maybe hard to read that. So this is what has us over there. So this is the people that we're talking about, the Hebrew people. So now when the Germans come in, and the Germans come in are expert body or swordsmen to protect the Caesars, because when you hire your own assassinates you and try to take the throne. So these Germans at that fall take these women who were blessed to have wounds because your side of your family was your strength. And that's why they want to kill the black family. That's why you had Margaret Singer wanted to kill the black family with Planned Parenthood. That's your connection. And that's your what's called eugenics, where you try to keep the good genes around and get rid of the bad genes, which are the melanated genes and the black genes. And so you go, so these people take these women into Germany and have babies with them. And it's the first time that the tradition is transferred from the mother to child instead of father to son. You know, that's why you got Abraham, you got Isaac, you got Jacob. That pattern was broken, but that faith system was so powerful and strong that you had some people called the Khazars and you had people called the Akhenaz who wind up adopting that faith, and it's documented in the eighth century. They wind up having a massive conversion, because if you follow those principles and practices, you will become wealthy as a people by you investing in your community, investing in yourself. That made them very, 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 very powerful people. But so when you go to find out who they are, you go to Genesis chapter 10. So when you go to Genesis chapter 10, or you can go in the Torah, it'd be the same thing. But they have the Sakala in the Torah and verse 3 and 10, and you have the, and I'll give you, I'll just read the parts off, but when we go to 10, it will start.
Well, you know what? Hey, Doc, you got 2 minutes, so summing up.
Here we go. So we're right where we need to be. So you're going to find in Genesis, everybody turn to Genesis chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, tells you who the Europeans are. Europeans are called Japhet, J-A-P. And Ben Harbor, we call that St. Joe. And Ben Harbor, we call the next group in 10:6, that's called the Black Ham, which is B-H, which is Ben Harbor. You're going to find 10:6 is going to give you black people. But you're going to find the Akhenazis there, the Goma there. You're going to find that's where your Khazars come from. So what I'm telling our people, stop saying Jew or Jewish, because that's not who you are or who we are. You are Hebrew, or you can say Israel. Because Israel is supposed to relate to a people, a following of a people that was never actually a physical nation, and it's a people. So to say to try for blacks to be Jewish, that's not correct, because you are not a Gentile. So if you're going to be, if you're going to claim the Hebrew faith, and let the European hold on to their Jewishness, their Yiddishness, that's this, because those are people who are converted to the faith. But we know that your genetics show that you have what's called the Cohen model haplotype, which is direct descendants from Aaron, Moses' brother, the high priest, and you're going to find that in your people in Africa who are directly who have fled during the time of the diaspora. And that's even where Captain Bowman had his lineage associated with those people. So that's so very important. The Limba people, L-I-M-B-A. So your Limba people are your people, and that's the Igbo people are your people. So you are Hebrew, not Jew. You're not Yiddish. You are Hebrew. And so we need to hold on to Hebrew, because that means me and you. Thank you, Rev.
Okay.
All right, Doc. That was tremendous. Listen, maybe we can finish it up tomorrow. If you have a few minutes tomorrow, we can finish that up tomorrow, because you're always my guest on Monday. So we got to make sure that we take care of our business, and I really appreciate you. Oh. Hold up one thought. Let me bring in this guy.
80% of the European population, 80% of the European population does not have the genetic marker to be classified as Hebrew. Only 3-5% of them show the mixture of having the Hebrew gene in them. That solely belongs to the Lemba, the Igbo, and the African Americans over here.
All right. So in other words, you know, some of them old Jews over there got a little of that black blood in them. That's what we're saying. Right on. All right, gotta let you go, Doc. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
All right, now this is my good friend Dr. Tan. Let me bring in Gloria. I know Gloria got something to say. Talk to me, Gloria. Gloria, you there?
Reverend Pinkney, yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I'm involved with Amy Anderson because we're targeted individuals and we're always researching. And something I came across today was the Jonestown, when they took all the melanin-rich people to Jonestown and killed them, that was sponsored by the United States government.
Are you talking about Youngstown, Ohio?
No, Jonestown. When the gentleman
I know about that. Okay, yeah. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, well, that was the United States sponsored. The United States government sponsored that. So we should all apply for reparations. Because if not, they're going to continue to do away with us however way they want to. Thank you for listening.
All right. That was beautiful. And you know, it's so, they have done so much for us. And yet and still, they never want to talk about what they have done to us. You never hear them admitting that we did wrong by those people, you know. And like I said before, I'm always talking about, you know, what they, you know, as a people, we've been traumatized for over 450 years. You're talking about abuse, you know. Can you imagine the beating that we took? You know, even now, it's the same thing. They just got a different formula that they use it. It's the same thing over and over and over again. And this is what kills me. Why would anybody want to be a Sambo after all the hell that we have been through? Why would anybody get on TV and say that somebody should never, ever play this sport again? What kind of individual is that? You know, they pay him well to get on there and talk down to black people. He always talking down to black people. Whatever black people do, they always got something to say. You got this Shaq, you know. He done made a lot of money. He got over $400 million. He's almost a billion. Then you got this Barkley guy, who's about the dumbest man there is in the world. But yet they keep him on TV talking stuff that he don't have no ability to talk about. He don't have no skills at that. He was a good basketball player, but okay, Shaq too. But the point is, it's more to life than playing basketball. You got the money. Get out here and take care of this community out here. This is where we should be at today. And then, to top it all, Stephen A. Smith had the nerve to tell the world that Kyrie Irving should never, ever bounce a basketball again in an arena. I mean, what kind of person would say something like that? You know, what would make you say something? He wasn't good at nothing. He got on TV and started hollering and white folks started, you know, that's how black people act. See, they want us to be hostile. They want us to be angry. They want us to be upset about everything. And then they got all the power. You see, they got, they control everything. They done stole all the money. They done did all this. And now what they're doing now is now they're trying to bully us. Because I thought what they did with Kanye West and what they did to Kyrie, they bullied them. They said, well, we're going to take your money. If you, like, if you stand up, Shaq, and tell the truth, I'm going to take every dime you got. And I know you're not smart enough to get no more money unless we give it to you. And you know Charles Barkley threw a man through a window. And he didn't even go to jail for that. He actually threw a man through a window. And everybody was talking about that. How come he didn't go to jail? You see, because he's a butt kisser. See, the white folks take care of their own. They take care of their own. And that's the problem that we're facing today. To me, for someone to want to be a sellout, just so they can give them a few dollars, that's sick, you know. They should be hung by the neck, you know. I just don't see. I can't be no friend with nobody. If I was a barber, if one of them sellouts came into my barber shop, I wouldn't cut his hair. If I owned a restaurant and a guy came in and wanted to eat a meal, I wouldn't serve him a meal. I wouldn't. That's me, though. I'm not telling you, but I'm telling you what I wouldn't do. I would not do it. I won't do it. You know, all the hell we done went through, and now you want to be a door and sell out to these devils? They devils. They, and what they do, they take all the money and squeeze you, and then try to make sure that, try to make black folks the worst people in the world. All, everything we do, they do more killing than we do. Unfortunately, they got to dramatize it so people could think that we are so terrible. You see, the worst people in the world, they say, is black folks. That's what white folks say. But the worst people in the world, to me, is the Jewish people. That's who I think. They have done so much damage. They want to be in control of everything. They don't let black folks do nothing. It's a shame, but some of that got to fall in love. Our children, look at our children. But what's going on is only about 10%. You see, we got 90% of the people that's good and decent. But we got this 10% who want to sell drugs in our community, poison our community, poison our children. And now, let me say this about this fentanyl. This is something that Dr. Tan could have hit on. I just thought about this fentanyl. It's running rapid right here in the city of Benton Harbor. These guys are mixing this fentanyl with marijuana. We got it all right here. We got preachers over at these, what they call them places. We got 4 or 5 marijuana stands around here. I mean, they all over. I don't condone none of that stuff. But what I do condone, is that our people stand up and fight together. We must stand up and fight together. And I'm down to a minute of my time, but I want to make sure I get all the help to help me take this sample all across the country. Because people want to do it, but I got to figure out how to do it. I got to make sure that we're doing what we're doing. I know Dr. Times has some idea. I'm going to need you, Doc, to help me get through this because I want to make it so it'll work. We can do it in levels, you know, which was one of my thoughts. But we got to make sure that we're doing what we want, and I hope that it turned out half. If it turned out half as good as it turned out here, I'll be more than happy. So that's my story for today. But tomorrow, 1 o'clock, call in, same number, 323-642-1559. If you want to speak, hit me up. We'll talk, and we'll see, can we get you in to say a few words. And on that note, let me see.
Fentanyl is imported into our community. Fentanyl has to come directly from a pharmaceutical. This is not something like weed or something that comes through the back door. That's straight up pharmaceutical. You cannot do that. So that's purposeful. So it's directly malicious, purposeful exposure, fentanyl to the community. because you cannot get it without a prescription. You cannot get it through a pharmacy. It's too highly controlled. It's just like heroin had to be bought from overseas, and black people didn't have equipment. So this is our new heroin, which is your fentanyl. There's a kill black.
Absolutely. Let's take time out and talk about that tomorrow. Let's do it. And on that note, Doc, I got to say, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, 323-642-1559, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Everybody have a great day. Stay focused. Let's do what we got to do.